life to the only Son. And I trust that that is your passion today, that your life will be lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. We're going to read a passage from the Gospel of Mark this morning. Get that up on the screen there, guys. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 17. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal." Lost my place here. "Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure. And come, follow me." Well, in this passage of Scripture, you'll notice that this person had a decision to make. There was a crisis of belief there, and there was a definite adjustment that he would have to make in his life if he were to follow the Lord Jesus, an adjustment that he wasn't willing to make. And the Scripture says that he went away grieved when Jesus challenged him to give up all that he owned to come and follow him. Well, there's another person that we're going to, a couple of people that we're going to view right now in this video clip who had a decision to make, a crisis of belief and some adjustments they had to make to their lives. We'll see how it turned out.
Our pastor said, "Look, I want you guys to go over and..."
Is that plugged into the sound?
We will evaluate where we are, ask the Lord, and see what direction we're supposed to take from here. We can see ourselves doing so many things now that we have broken out of the mold of what we were living previously. So we're really enjoying the opportunity just to do this project and then really be, again, just open to whatever opportunities present themselves 24 months from now.
Well, as you can see, this family by the name of Weirs had come to a crisis of belief in their lives. God had called them to go to Croatia, and we saw the struggle that went on in their hearts and in their lives to respond and be obedient to the call of God in their lives. They had to struggle with a lot of adjustments. They had a beautiful home. They had a pool. They had a successful business. And those things were hard to put aside in order for them to follow through with what the Lord wanted them to do. They would be entering territory that they really didn't know anything about. They didn't even know where Croatia was. And yet God had called them there. Major adjustments had to be made if they were going to be obedient to the Lord. Well, this video sort of resonated with me as I watched it and reminded me of a time back in 1995 when we came to a point in our lives where the Lord, we believed, was calling us to go to Spain. And I had 24 years in at Algoma Steel at that time, and the job was good, and the benefits were good, and we had to make a decision as to whether or not we were willing to leave those things in order to follow what the Lord wanted us to do. And as Mona and I discussed the possibility of all this, we came up with the brainwave that I would go and ask for a leave of absence, a real step of faith, you know, so that my job would be there when I came back if we didn't really want to continue on. But they had canceled all leaves that year, and so that was really out of the question. And so we decided that we would go ahead. A major adjustment had to take place in our lives if we were going to follow through with what the Lord wanted us to do. We had to decide if the Lord's call was important enough in our lives in order to set some of these comforts aside in order to go to Spain and quit my job. Well, at this juncture of the process, I had obtained my visa. We had purchased our plane tickets, but Mona didn't have her visa yet. And there was a person in Toronto at the Spanish consulate who wasn't very cooperative at all. When we would call to try to get information, we would get zero from them. And so what we decided to do was that since I had my visa and I had to respond to it within a certain period of time, I would go ahead and Mona could follow after she got her visa. We informed our missionary friends in Spain, Les and Sharon Fry, about what we were dealing with. And Les said, he said, I just happen to have to go to Madrid tomorrow. He said, what I'll do is I'll stop in at the Spanish consulate in Madrid and see if I can get some information. So lo and behold, he went to the Spanish consulate and he was told there that no one could speak to the assistant director who was in charge of visas unless they had an appointment. And of course, he was disappointed with that. Went out and he sat down on the steps leading up to this building and he was praying, and a man was walking toward him, and he walked up to Les and he said, are you all right? And he said, oh yes, I'm fine. He said, I was just trying to get some information inside about friends of ours and the visa for his wife, and they told me that no one could see the assistant director without an appointment. And he said, well, I'm not the assistant director, but I am the director, so I think that I can help you out. So Les took the director took Les into his office, and when the people saw this guy in tow as he walked through the office, they all their heads turned and looked at him because they were very surprised that he would be with the director of this business. The man called Toronto, and he told them to have Mona's visa ready immediately, that she would be in a couple of days to pick it up. And Les called back and told us this news, and I can remember saying to Mona, "Do you believe in miracles?" And so we called the consulate in Toronto, and the woman there again said, "I can't have that visa ready for a week. We needed to leave in 2 days." And so Mona said, "Well, I guess we'll have to call your boss again in Madrid and see if he can help us out." And she said, "Nobody talks to him." So we called Les, who was our connection, and he happened to be going to Madrid again the next day. And so he went to the consulate, asked to see the director. He was ushered right in this time. And the man was told the story again, what happened in Toronto, and he just shook his head and he said, "If she won't listen to me, who will she listen to?" So he got on the phone again, and he called Toronto, and he said, "The visa for Mrs. Kane will be issued today." And so we called back again after we got that news and told her that we understood that the visa was supposed to be ready, and she said, "It might be." So Mona said, "Well, I'll be there in 2 days to pick it up." And that was the end of that story. But we were told by, Les was told by the director that Mona's visa was placed in a file that probably wouldn't have been looked at for at least 10 years. So, is God alive? Is God great? Can God do things that we think he can't do? He can. And so, we were off to Spain. And you might be asking yourselves, "Well, what are you doing back here right now if you went to Spain?" Did we make a mistake? Did God make a mistake? No, I don't believe so. I believe that the Lord also called us back here to be full-time at Bethel. And this is where we are today. I believe we're obeying God's call right here and now at Bethel Bible Chapel. And we always have to make major adjustments in our lives, don't we? To quote Henry Blackaby, "You cannot stay where you are and go with God in obedience to his will. Major adjustments must come first. To go from our way, your ways, thoughts, and purposes to God's will always require major adjustments. God will require adjustments in your circumstances, relationships, thinking, commitments, actions, and beliefs. And when you have made the necessary adjustments, you can follow God in obedience. Keep in mind, the God who calls you is also the one who will enable you to do his will." And we are talking here about reality number 6. You remember the diagram that God is always at work around us. Go back here a couple. There we go. No. I lost it. I lost the diagram. Anyway, that's okay. You know the diagram. God's always at work around us, and God invites us to be involved in his work. God wants to have a personal, loving relationship with us that is real. And God often speaks to us through circumstances in our lives, through the Bible, through prayer, and through the church. And as we learned last week, we come to a crisis of belief, and we have to make some decisions in our lives, and that involves making a lot of adjustments if we are going to follow the Lord. And that's what reality number 6 is. In essence, you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he is doing. And you'll notice the verse there at the bottom. And any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. Well, in our daily routines, we are unconsciously making adjustments all the time, aren't we? We're living in a world of adjustments. The world is moving so fast and adjusting so fast that we have to try to adjust our lives to those things. Every day we are making adjustments. However, the more important adjustments that we often set on the back burner that need priority in our lives are those which help us to join God in what he is doing. it very well be to drop everything and go and have coffee with a neighbor who is interested in spiritual things. It may be adjusting your dinner plans to entertain a couple who wants to come and read the Bible with you and to learn more about the Bible. It could be that the Lord wants you to set your career aside in order to serve Him in another capacity. And I see retirees around this church making adjustments to their schedules all the time in order to do the Lord's work and the Lord's service, and praise the Lord for retirees who are here. It was Rick Warner who said this in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. And Jesus is not asking us today to do something that He Himself did not do. He gave up the privileges of heaven to come to this earth to become the Savior of the world. His first advent was one of the greatest historical events that ever happened in the history of mankind. It was a huge adjustment for Christ to become a man, to be punished for our sins, and to be called a sinner himself on our behalf and take the punishment of my sin and your sin upon him. Here's some things that God wants us to understand. God's revelation is your invitation to adjust your life to him. And this happened to a number of Old Testament personalities. And one that came to my mind as I was preparing this message was Esther in the Old Testament. And during a very difficult time in Jewish history, God, through his sovereignty, had placed Esther as the queen in Persia. And during this period of time, her uncle, Mordecai, was not shy about letting his Jewish roots be known to those around him. And it really irritated this one individual by the name of Haman, who was a power-hungry individual. And so Haman was determined that he was going to make the Jews extinct in the Persian Empire. And so he talked to the king, and he convinced the king that he should issue an edict, a Persian edict commanding the slaughter of the Jewish people. Well, Esther's Jewish heritage was unknown to the king at this particular time, but her uncle strongly encouraged her to go and make her Jewish roots known to the king and intervene for her people at this time. His famous words, "Who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this." And this was Esther's invitation to get involved in God's work. Even though God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther, it is evident that he was at work on behalf of his people. And Esther had to make a major adjustment in order to be involved in God's work. Well, the story shows that achieving God's purposes for our existence is more important than personal comfort. Esther did approach the king. She took a risk and she approached the king. And you know the end of the story, that Esther was successful. Haman was put down. As a matter of fact, he was hanged on the gallows that he had prepared in order to hang Jews on. He himself died on those gallows. When God the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us concerning something he wants us to be involved in, it is an open invitation to join him in his great work. And Esther joined in that great work. And I'm sure that is your desire today, many of you. God desires, as we see here, absolute surrender. You know, today we have cars, I understand. I haven't driven one, had the privilege of driving one. We have cars that will parallel park without anyone touching the wheel. You take your hands off the wheel, the car backs up, puts itself in place, hopefully without any damage. But the key to that is that the individual has to take his hands off the controls, has to let this computer gadget do the work for him or her. You know something? That's what God wants us to do too in our own lives. He wants us to take our hands off so that he can place us exactly where he wants to place us. William Borden was a member of the famous Derry family, Borden Milk, you'll remember. And he had forsaken all, we are told, to follow Christ. And he prayed this prayer: Lord Jesus, I take hands off as far as my life is concerned. I put thee on the throne of my heart. Change, cleanse, use me as thou shalt choose. I take the full power of the Holy Spirit. I thank thee. As I read that, I thought to myself, is that a prayer that I can pray for my life? Would that be a prayer that you could pray for your life? Lord Jesus, I take my hands off and I give you my life. I surrender my life to you unconditionally, to be used by you as you choose to use me. We are adjusting, brothers and sisters and friends, to a person, not a thing. And we are adjusting in reality to the person of the Lord Jesus and the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. He is the Lord of the universe, as we saw in the video this morning. And he is capable of looking after us and providing for all of our needs. But we need to realize as well that obedience requires adjustments in our lives. And we're going to be reading a portion of scripture from the Gospel of Luke, beginning to read at verse 57. And it's up on the screen. And as they were going along the road, that's Jesus and his disciples, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, a major adjustment will have to be made in your life if you are going to follow the Lord Jesus. It may very well mean that we are going to be uncomfortable. Jesus made the life of his followers, he never made it look easy at all. As a matter of fact, he made it look very difficult at times. In fact, we need to make a decision about this whole thing of the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. We say that he is Lord. But is he? You cannot stay where you are and go with God. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. And he said, allow the dead to bury their dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And then when I read that verse, I said again to myself, wow. And you know, as you read something like this, you try to rationalize that it can't mean what it says. There has to be something different that Jesus is meaning in this verse. Whether we know, we don't really know, as we look at this passage of Scripture, whether the person's father was dead or whether he was still alive. I think he was probably still alive, and he wanted to stay home and look after his father rather than answering the call of the Lord Jesus. And that's why Jesus said these challenging words, allow the dead to bury their dead. He wanted to stay home until his dad had passed. Our principal concern as Christians has to be in the proclamation and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will not get saved unless they hear, and they cannot hear unless it comes from the mouth of a preacher. And we're all preachers in God's kingdom. Obedience is costly to you and to those around you, but we can trust God with our families. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord. First, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Another hard saying from the lips of the Lord Jesus. What would be wrong with going back and saying goodbye to family? Only one thing that I could think of. If the heart is torn between obeying the Lord Jesus and going back to the family, then we have to make a serious choice to follow the Lord Jesus. Remember, it was this person in this passage of Scripture who offered his services. Jesus didn't ask him. He offered the services, and so Jesus put out this condition to the individuals. And he wanted him to follow him unconditionally. You'll notice he used the illustration of a farmer plowing a field. I can remember my uncle plowing the field when I was young, and I could never understand why he would go up to the head of the field and he would put this stake in. And he'd set a little white ribbon on the end of the stake. But what he was doing was he was setting that up so he could plow a straight furrow. He wasn't looking back like this when he was plowing. He was looking straight ahead to the stick at the end of the field, and he was making a straight furrow. And the Lord says, when we put our hand to the plow to do his service, wherever that may be and whatever that might be, we can't look back. We have to keep looking ahead. We have to keep plowing forward. Obedience requires total dependence on God to work through you. All of us are different. And what you may be struggling with in your life as a Christian, another person may already have dealt with. But here are some common adjustments that people have to make in order to join God in his work. Circumstances. We are going to have to look at circumstances. Perhaps homes, perhaps finances. We have to look at relationships. And family relationships, I hope you're not misunderstanding me, are very, very important. And they're important to God too. And God understands all of that. We have to deal with things like friends and business associates, perhaps, in order to respond to God's call. Our thinking may have to change. We might be prejudiced. Can you imagine if the Weirs were prejudiced toward the people in Croatia? They wouldn't be of much use there. And so we have to put our prejudices aside. And perhaps some methods. And we also have to understand, as Moses had to understand, that it wasn't his potential that was on the line. He didn't feel that he had the potential to do what God wanted him to do. But God is able to use us regardless of who we are. And then there are commitments. We have to consider commitments toward family and church and job and plans and traditions. There may be some actions that we have to take. such as prayer. Maybe we have to give more. And maybe we have to get involved in serving if we aren't serving already. This isn't a concert where people come and sit and watch. It's one where everyone gets involved and everyone does their part, and it's like the body. We need our arms, we need our eyes, we need everything, and each one of us is a part of the body of Christ. And he expects us to be involved in serving. And then there may be some major adjustments that need to be made in our lives as far as our beliefs are concerned. Beliefs in God. What we believe about God is tantamount to everything that happens in our lives. And the first thing that we need to believe about God, I think, is that he is loving. He loves us with an everlasting love. He deeply wants to have this love relationship with us that is personal and real. He wants us to come to his Son, the Lord Jesus, the one who died to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. We might not experience the abundant life here and now. As a matter of fact, we may experience a whole number of trials on this earth, but beyond this life, there is a great abundant life that is in store for everyone who will give their life to Jesus Christ. And today could be the day of salvation for you if you haven't come to the Lord Jesus. And so I want to ask today, what adjustments do you feel that you have to make in your life today in order to wholeheartedly follow the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of heaven and earth? Is there one thing in your life that you are not willing to give up that is blocking you from following Christ in obedience to his call? Let me remind you of what the Lord Jesus said in the scriptures. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? We want to call him Lord, but that also means following through in obedience to him as our Lord and Savior. And that should be the goal that each one of us is working toward today. That when the Lord calls us, that we would definitely respond. In William MacDonald's book, Only One Time Around, he tells a short but poignant story, and it goes like this. The architect of one of the great bridges in New York City was seriously injured while the bridge was being erected. He lay on a hospital bed, enduring but not enjoying a long convalescence. And finally, the bridge was finished. And when the day arrived for the dedication service, the architect was well enough to be taken by ambulance and placed on a stretcher on the bank of the river. And when he looked over at the completed structure, the one that he had planned, the one that he had dreamed about, when he looked at that completed structure, his eyes fairly gleamed with satisfaction, and he said, "It's exactly according to plan." Well, that's the goal toward which you and I should be working. That when the Lord compares his plan for our life with the actual history of what's gone on in our lives, we will be able to say, it's exactly according to plan. You're going to leave here in a few moments. And you'll probably forget 99% of what I've said this morning. But I would like to challenge you one more time before you leave here to make a commitment to Christ, whatever the cost may be today. Whatever the adjustments that need to be made in your life are, I'm asking you, and I'm speaking to myself, to make those adjustments. And maybe your first big adjustment is to come from the area of darkness into the light of God's Son. To go from a person who is outside the kingdom of God into the kingdom of God. And you know what? That would make the angels in heaven rejoice more than anything else today. Sometimes there's a benefit to making a commitment at a specific moment. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right now. I'm going to leave you with some quiet moments. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to Christ today that you will serve Him for the rest of your life as God enables you to serve Him. Let's pray. This morning, at the breaking of bread, a song was given out, and Mona leaned over toward me and she said, "That's a song that goes good with your message." And we're going to sing that song together. I'm going to ask you to stand and sing that, this song with us. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold." And Marie, if you would play that for us. It's going to be on the overhead. There it is. Thank you, guys. So let's stand together and sing this song to the Lord for His glory. It's 506. I'd rather have Jesus. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. And we thank you for the challenging verses that are in the Bible. Many of them we have difficulty applying, and yet, Lord, we know that your word is truth. And I pray today that you indeed would help us, Lord, to be people who are known for, first of all, our obedience to your word and to your call on our lives. We pray for the families here today. There's going to be a lot of celebration around this time of year. But may we not forget that God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, and he came to be our Savior. We thank you for our time together today, Lord. We ask you to bless each one now as they part and go to their homes. We ask your blessing in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.